To build a 3D printed house, you need a 3D printer that's bigger than a house. So imagine a machine that has two main posts that are mounted on wheels and parallel tracks. Now imagine like a truss-like beam that runs between those two posts that can move up and down. And then on the beam is a carriage that moves back and forth. So that carriage has a nozzle that delivers the 3D printing material, and the posts can move along the tracks. So the beam moves up and down and the carriage moves back and forth. And now you have all these parts moving in coordination. So the nozzle travels around the perimeter of where you want the house to be, extruding that wood composite material. And then, so it's kind of like, you know, imagine you've got easy cheese and you're putting it around the perimeter of a cracker. That's what we're doing.
Hi everyone, welcome to The Vandal Theory, a podcast about science and research at the University of Idaho. I'm your host for the day, Danae Lenz, External Communications Coordinator for U of I, and today I am joined by my fantastic co-host, hi Lee.
Hey Danae, I'm Lee Cooper, science writer and editor here at University of Idaho.
Great, how's it going today?
Not too bad, I actually get to go on vacation tomorrow, so this is my last job.
Heck yeah, that's awesome. So today we're going to talk about sustainable buildings. What types of things do you think the construction industry is doing or will be doing in the future to make buildings more climate friendly?
Well, the thing that first comes to mind is really building to the location. I mean, you think about the Southwest and they're using adobe. It helps keep the inside of the buildings cool while it's a bazillion degrees outside. And so you're really building to the climate of where you live so that, you know, in the long run, you're really energy efficient. But that could extend to even, you know, locally sourcing your material, making sure that you're using local lumber or locally made bricks or something like that, as opposed to, you know, shipping in the, you know, Italian marble or the Chinese teak wood or something or other like that. You know, just really making sure that what you're using doesn't have to travel a huge amount and, you know, save gas that way and money.
Right. Also that, like, construction industry costs are so ridiculously high right now.
Ridiculously high. Good God.
Yeah. Anything to reduce how much it costs, including, so one of my thoughts with this question was just reducing waste generally. Like, if you're wasting less stuff, then you're wasting less money, which probably makes everyone involved very happy. And then in addition, that's very sustainable. It's good to reduce, reuse, recycle, you know?
Absolutely.
And then I was also thinking you can reuse old buildings or come up with gray water systems so that you're reusing your water, the water that you can reuse.
I've been in buildings like that. They're pretty cool.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen that yet, but I imagine it's really awesome. Today, we're talking to someone who is working on one innovative and sustainable way to build houses. Mike Mann is an associate professor of mechanical engineering at University of Idaho. His research focuses on materials development, advanced manufacturing, design, and the intersection among them. Today, he's going to talk about a project called Print Timber, which he hopes will change the future of sustainable construction. You ready to get into it?
Absolutely.
Awesome. Hi, Mike. Welcome to the Vandal Theory.
Hi. How's it going?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Can you start us off by telling us a little bit about who you are and what you do?
I'm an associate professor of mechanical engineering at the University of Idaho. I study materials processing, advanced manufacturing, and design. And so what that means is, in other words, my team studies a variety of ways to make things and how the way you make it affects the properties of the end product. I also am part of a team developing some new innovative devices that will help with human and animal health.
That's awesome. I can't wait to dive into what you do. I know in 2021, the National Science Foundation awarded you and your team $4 million. What have you been researching with that money?
So the goal of the grant, which we call the Print Timber Project, is to develop the science to sustainably print 3D buildings out of waste wood and other biomaterials. So what we do is we take a variety of biomass types like switchgrass, aspen wood, and process it and combine it into a composite material that is suitable for the structural walls of a residential building. So we're making houses. So we take what's left over after a tree is cut up into smaller pieces, basically waste sawdust, process it, mix it with a resin, kind of a glue binder made from the biomass, and use that to build the structure. And my team in particular is working on designing and building a machine to make this all work.
I'm having a little bit of a hard time picturing 3D printing a building, and I'm probably not the only one. Can you help me and our listeners picture the process for building a 3D printed building?
Yeah, definitely. To build a 3D printed house, you need a 3D printer that's bigger than a house. So imagine a machine that has two main posts that are mounted on wheels and parallel tracks. Now imagine like a truss-like beam that runs between those two posts that can move up and down. And then on the beam is a carriage that moves back and forth. So that carriage has a nozzle that delivers the 3D printing material, and the posts can move along the tracks. So the beam moves up and down, and the carriage moves back and forth, and now you have all these parts moving in coordination, so the nozzle travels around the perimeter of where you want the house to be, extruding that wood composite material. And then, so it's kind of like, you know, imagine you've got easy cheese and you're putting it around the perimeter of a cracker. That's what we're doing. So you do this over and over again until the extruded material builds up multiple layers and you've got a wall. And then for us, we're going to put a traditional roof structure on the house, you know, trusses and that kind of thing. So there are 3D printing companies already doing this with concrete instead of wood.
Okay, that was going to be my next question for you, was the other materials that are currently on the market for 3D printing houses. And so what are those in addition to concrete, and how do they differ from what you're doing?
So concrete's really the big one. That's the only thing that's kind of commercially available right now. It's got a lot of good properties. It flows well, and it's a well-understood material. But concrete has some downsides in terms of the amount of energy it takes to produce it and the impact on climate change that has. And, you know, it's not really going to give you that warm, cozy feeling you want in a house, you know, unless you go and like frame it in like with traditional construction, which just takes more effort and materials on top of it. So, you know, we've been focusing on the wood. It's a great material, has lots of benefits. There's two different types of wood composites, which basically is focused on what the binder is made out of. So there's thermosets and thermoplastics. And we are focused on thermoset resins because unlike thermoplastics, they don't get, and I'm going to use a technical term here, they don't get melty when you heat them up. So if you're like me and old enough to remember the warnings on rented VHS tapes, right? You don't leave them in the car on the dash in the sun. So you can process thermoplastics, you got to heat them up, and then they get solid when they cool down. Thermosets, on the other hand, right, you mix them, they set, and they cure, kind of like two-part epoxies. And so when they're heated up, they're stable, and they don't change shape or their strength. So thermoplastics take more energy to build the house because you have to heat them up, and the other things that you don't want, like the hot side of your house to sag on that hot August day, to happen.
Okay, yes, thank you for that. So I have to admit, when I first heard of this, 3D printing houses, like building a house out of wood waste, the first thing I think is that it sounds like it could be a fire hazard. Is that the case?
Yeah, good question. The thermosets we use are very fire resistant, actually. Our first generation resin is so fire resistant that when we mix it with wood flour, the composite easily stands up to a blowtorch. We've done tests where we put a blowtorch on it for like 5 minutes and it's totally self-extinguishing. So the data we have suggests that even after being forced to burn like that, it retains like 80% of its strength, which means it'd be great for building houses in the fire-prone areas like the West and South. So not really an issue. Again, kind of going back to the difference between the thermoplastics and the thermosets, the thermoplastics are generally flammable unless you add fire retardant chemicals, which generally aren't the healthiest things you want to be, you know, around your house.
Right.
So we don't have to do that.
Okay. That's very, very cool. So clearly this material is at least beneficial in protecting homes from, let's say, wildfires. But I assume there are other ways in which you think this could have big benefits. What are those things?
The whole process will be much more automated compared to the way we build houses now, which is like one stick at a time, hammer and nails, putting it all together manually. So this reduces the problems of like worker safety, right? So you don't have people hurting themselves on the job site. And it's not always fun out there in the weather building houses. Like it's cold, it's hot, the house still has to go up. You know, we have a machine to do that now. which will help with some of the problems that we are seeing with like labor shortages. The other thing is that we hope to reduce this labor a lot and build houses faster. So you kind of have this compounding effect, which is going to reduce the cost by increasing supply, as well as the fact that we're using this waste material, which is going to push the cost, just the cost of the materials down, which will really help with the affordability crisis. And as I've mentioned, we're using a waste product that would otherwise have to be burned or disposed of or used for lower value things, which is really going to help offset some of the climate issues. And we can harvest fewer trees and leave forests more intact.
Okay, so all of that is really awesome. Where do you get this wood waste?
There's a lot of different ways you can get it. We get it from one of our partners at their wood processing factory, but we have used this, like when you harvest a tree to turn it into lumber, only about 40% of that tree is actually turned into 2x4s and 2x6s and stuff like that. So there's all the waste. You cut off the branches and those stay in the forest and they're really burned just to dispose of them. And then there's all the sawmill residue, so the sawdust that is left over between the pieces and the bark and all that stuff. We've actually used that to print 3D printed houses or 3D printed in our process.
Okay, very, very cool. So I know this research has crossed over into other colleges and disciplines. Could you delve into how this project has really been a team effort?
So you're talking about other colleges at the University of Idaho. Let me back up a little bit. So we were trying to make the whole process cradle to cradle. So what that means is that we were trying to make the material completely recyclable so you can take an old 3D printed house that no longer meets your needs and recycle it and turn it into the material to print a new house. So that's in comparison to the cradle to grave approach where like virgin materials are harvested and used and then eventually you just landfill and you discard them. So we want to see those recycled indefinitely. So how this relates to our team is first, we have our partners at Auburn University working on the resins to make those completely bio-based and those become part of our composite material. And they are studying like how to reprocess and recycle those materials. So that's our resin team. And then we have our printer team, which has researchers from the U of I College of Engineering and College of Natural Resources. We're working on building the first machine to print that material with the wood and figuring out the best recipe to give it the right printability properties. Then we have another collaboration between engineering and natural resources working on what we call our performance team, and they're studying the properties and behavior of the material to get the structure of the house right, as well as working on ways to improve durability from wood-destroying pests and weathering. And finally, we have the cradle-to-cradle design team, which is primarily folks from the College of Art and Architecture, and they're really looking at the sustainability and the design for resilience of our system and getting the word out there to practitioners about, you know, what we're doing so that this can eventually get brought into the market.
Okay, so this really has been a large team effort.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay, that's very cool to see. Looking to the future, 5, 10, 20 years down the line, what are you hoping the legacy of this project will be?
So we're putting together what we hope is the basic science in place to start an entirely new industry of 3D printing wood houses. And I'm especially excited about this because of sort of this idea of democratizing the home building process. So, this is decades down the road, but imagine there's a system you could go over to your home supply store and you rent a printer, bring it home on a trailer and set it up, and then you can design and print your own house with very limited labor. You could make additions to your house, add on an extra room when you have a family change or something like that. So I'm really excited about the things it's going to do for the affordability and the ability for people to sort of control their own situation better.
Yeah, that's really cool. I would have never thought about someone just renting a 3D printer for their own house.
Yeah.
That would be wild. I hope that happens.
Yeah, me too.
Well, Mike, thanks so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure to have you on.
Yeah, thanks so much. It's great to talk to you.
All right, so what did you think?
Well, that's super cool. I mean, I just love the idea of it. And I mean, it seems simple, I guess, but because, I mean, you're just using wood, but in a different type of wood or form of wood, I guess. But I did have, you know, when I first was hearing about this, I did have trouble getting my head around how big this machine is. And it really will be, like, house-sized, like, to be able to print the whole house. And that's just fantastic to me. I love imagining that. So I really, really, really hope that they're able to scale this up to that size, because I really want to see that.
I totally agree. When he was explaining to me, I was like, what? It's bigger than the house?
Yeah, yeah, it's just fantastic. I love the idea of it. It's like Lincoln Logs, but at scale. But, I mean, otherwise, you know, it's just, it's really wonderful to see, you know, we talk about innovation all the time in terms of, you know, computer technology and the internet and that kind of thing. But we don't talk about innovation in terms of construction that often. And I mean, maybe that's just me. This is a blind spot for me. But it's really interesting to hear, you know, kind of a big innovation in how we build our houses, which, as has been stated, if we can bring the cost down of houses and make them more affordable, I mean, heck, I'll buy one. I mean,
yeah, I just, the more I think about this, the more I think about how it could impact so many different things. Like, it's fireproof, basically. That's bonkers.
That was, like, awesome.
Absolutely bonkers. Yeah. And then, yeah, they're just cleaning up the forest floor and the lumber mills of all of the spare wood that's not being used for anything. That's super cool as well. And then the impact on worker safety. And then the impact it'll have on our housing situation. So in this state and this country and a lot of the world, housing is hard to come by and it's super expensive. And this could bring the cost down, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just actually read one of the writers here at U of I was putting an article together about this. And they even mentioned that, I mean, this is still, you know, they're still developing this. Obviously, this is in the works. Already, they're coming up with new uses. I know for, you know, all the stress tests, like the fire stuff, they were actually making bricks of this stuff for the tests. And they found that in and of themselves, that was a pretty cool building material as well. So I know that's now kind of on the table for them to pursue as a possible product in the long run.
Yeah, that's awesome too. I love when it happens that you have to create a thing to, like, get to a bigger thing. And then it turns out, like, oh, this thing is actually super helpful and marketable.
Yeah, accidental byproduct.
All right, everyone, thank you for listening to The Vandal Theory. You can find our website at uidaho.edu/vandaltheory for more about our research. Email us at vandaltheory@uidaho.edu. We're on all the podcast platforms, so rate, review, and subscribe. I'm Danae Lenz.
And I'm Lee Cooper.
Thanks for joining us.